Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for coming back and joining us tonight on Sunday Night Live. I hope you enjoyed Dr. Sharp last week. I tell you what, that man is a teacher of the Word, and as my daughter would say, is He was full of the Word, and I tell you, he's got such a heart to teach the Word. But tonight, I have my most favorite people with me. I've got Mercers here tonight.
Thanks for having us. We're glad to be here again.
Yes, thank you. You bet. I'm so glad to have y'all here. Like I said, you're my most favorite people. Got to have the pastor here and his wife. Well, I say that y'all are more my friends than you are my pastor.
Amen. But,
so what have you, Mercer's been up to?
Living life.
Trying to get rid of puppies, living life, all kinds of fun stuff.
Chasing boys,
the most fun part.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting rid of puppies. What, is there a story that goes along with this puppy deal?
Oh, man, we just decided to do an experiment. Sonny can jump in here because he's done all the work when it comes to the puppies. But we decided we have a golden doodle at our house. It's solid black, so who knows where that comes from. But anyway, we ended up breeding her with a standard poodle. We were hoping for maybe 4 or 5 babies. We ended up with 9. We got a few left.
Yes. And they're cute. The mom's taking care of them. But I know that pretty quickly they're going to be dependent upon us to take care of them.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll find their forever home soon.
Yeah.
Yes. But they're cute. And so. Yeah. And the golden doodle, since Aaron said he don't know where the black comes from the dad, which was a black standard poodle.
So okay.
The mama was the golden retriever, and the dad was the golden, the standard poodle.
Well, you have just educated me because I didn't realize what a golden doodle was.
Never know what you're going to learn on Sunday Night Live.
I'm telling you what, so you cannot miss an episode.
That's right.
You never know what you're going to learn.
Yes.
Well, here we are. We're celebrating Palm Sunday. We're coming to the end here of the Sunday. We're about to kick off Holy Week. And one of the things that you guys have been teaching on is a roadway, or is it the roadway to Easter?
Uh-huh.
Am I saying that right?
That's it, yes, ma'am.
And so you want to share a little bit about that?
Well, you know, we've just been, one of the things that we like to do is we like to just take some of the obscure characters or kind of just bring the Easter story out. You know, everybody knows Jesus rose from the dead, all those sort of things. But what were the things that led up to Easter? What were the significant things that take place and all the things that are happening? And so we just try to take that from a different point of view because we really start an Easter season. This is kind of like a 5-week series, you know, that we'll finish up, Easter Sunday next week. And so it's exciting that we're doing that. Last week we did Mary and Martha. Today we did a whole thing about the Passover and how it ties into Easter. And then next week we'll talk about Jairus's daughter. And we just want to take several of the different instances of resurrection in the Scripture and just show how that all ties in, not only to Jesus' resurrection, but how we can experience resurrection in our own life.
You know, I as you're talking about that, you're talking about the different characters, you know, that might have taken place, and the sermon that you actually taught on the soldier that actually hung Jesus on the cross.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of those guys that you don't really think about. You know, like, what was he thinking? What was he doing? And what just intrigued me is after he nailed him to the cross and had the big earthquake, and, you know, then he says, surely this man was the Son of God. So it's obvious that he was on a journey he encountered God in some way throughout those crucifixion moments. And, you know, what was he thinking as he was nailing Jesus to the cross and Jesus said, you know, Father, forgive him because they don't know what they're doing. You know, so what kind of things were going on in his heart? What kind of things was happening that would cause him to think that? And, you know, what's going on in our heart? Do we turn our attention toward Jesus in this season? Do we look for him? Not only this season, but all the time, you know, because God's always working. We may be too busy or too sidetracked or distracted to see it, but he's always moving. He always wants to create encounters. Even if God wanted to create an encounter for the very man that was murdering his son, he absolutely wants to create an encounter for you.
Yes.
You know, and so that's kind of where that sermon was and where it came from.
That was good. And not that I want to be a Debbie Downer here.
Yeah.
But one of the things I think that really struck my heart, and correct me if I said this wrong, but as he was crucifying Jesus, you talked about how us as Christians go back and crucify.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I don't know if it's a human nature. We break people. We hold vendettas and unforgiveness in our heart. And a lot of it is because we've been hurt, we've been robbed, we've been treated wrongly, abused, all the different things. And so now we live out of that destruction instead of living out of the life that God wants us to live. I don't remember if I said this Sunday or it was in the men's meeting, but see, Jesus said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, narrow is the gate that leads to life. A lot of people will say that verse is pertaining to heaven and hell, and it could be sort of in its context, but what I really think Jesus is trying to get us all to understand is there's a narrow way to live your life right now that will take you to life. But it's different than everybody else lives. The wide way is the way that leads to destruction, the way everybody else is doing. Like, well, if you get me, I'm going to get you. And if you treat people exactly how they treat me. You know, and you see those memes on Facebook. I'm not a mean person. I'm going to treat you exactly how you treat me. Well, that's not our standard. That's not how we're supposed to live as Christians.
That's right.
We're supposed to live above that. And we're walking on that narrow way. And when you live in that narrow way, you're actually going to find life, not just in eternity, but you're going to find life right now. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to get people to understand when he gave that analogy of the narrow way and the broad way. And so that's kind of, you know, how do we live our lives? Do we live our lives moving toward life and imparting life and lifting people, encouraging people? Or do we wake up expecting it to be a difficult day? Oh, God, I got to go deal with those coworkers again. I hate their good. You know, and so you're already predisposed to what your day is going to be before anything has happened. You ain't got your pants on yet, and you think it's already going to be a bad day for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Already ready to gripe out so-and-so.
You're going to hit somebody. They're not going to talk to me today. I'm ready for them. You know what I mean? You know, we get ready for all these things. Well, why not go in there and bless and lift and forgive and impart life? I guarantee you we'll have a whole lot less problems. If you expect negative and nasty, you're going to get it. If you expect blessings in life, that's what you'll get.
Yes, that's good.
And the Bible says, bless those who curse you.
Absolutely.
And that's what we teach our boys all the time. Listen, it's easier. You catch more bees with honey than with vinegar. You
know? That's right. You know, and as you were saying, there the road to destruction is wide.
Mm-hmm.
And the
road to life.
Yeah, the road to life being narrow.
Yeah.
But what it makes me think of is, when you said that, is it becomes more abundant. It's even though it seems like it's a narrow way, your life actually becomes more abundant. You begin to flourish in who you are. You begin to flourish in every area of your life.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And another way, that's a great way of explaining it. And another way, the narrow way, see, the broad way is I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do this for this situation, do that for this situation. I'm going to do this. And you got a whole, you know, people that live that broad way, They've got a million different ways to respond, depending on the circumstance, whereas we as Christians, we don't have very many ways to respond.
Mm-hmm.
We respond in love. We respond in grace. We respond in truth. And we're not basing what we respond and how we act and how we attack certain situations. We don't just choose that by the way we feel. We choose that by what God's put out before us. We choose that by what's in our heart. So it's not about, hey, well, we'll find out how you treat me. You come at me, I'll come back. You know what I mean? That's not how we respond.
Yeah.
We don't come out like that. We come out as love. We live like Jesus lived. And so it's very, very easy. People think, oh, it's hard following Jesus. No, it's not. It's your best day following the enemy is the worst day following Jesus. I mean, there's no comparison. And so if we can just see that, if we'll just keep it simple and live the way Jesus asked us to live, it just makes things so much easier and we live so much lighter and so much more free, you know.
And the pressure, there's no pressure. You know,
right.
You're just doing what God says to do and there's no pressure.
No pressure.
On trying to meet expectations. But just doing what God says tells you to do and nothing else.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So with this being Palm Sunday, you know, I was looking up some different things about Wikipedia and all those different things that what the world sees as Palm Sunday. And then as I was going through that, one of the things, and I don't know why I never saw this, but talking about Palm Sunday where, you know, Jesus was walking into Jerusalem, it's also a form of people allowing Jesus walk into their heart and to receive him. And I thought, oh, how great is that?
Oh, I love that. It's great.
That's really neat, yeah.
Because, you know, growing up, we always had the kids line up, we'd give them palms, and we'd go down, we'd wave our palms,
yeah.
We'd leave them at the altar. And so I just automatically, that's what I think of, you know, Palm Sunday is those palms waving. But as I think about Palm Sunday, Sonia, I remember when we went to Israel several years ago, and we actually walked the road that Jesus walked when he went into Jerusalem.
Yes, yes. A narrow road.
Yes. Steep.
Steep. Yes. And little cars would come zooming by.
And they would not be worried about if there was any pedestrians or not.
No.
But I think about that. But do you remember that road that led us into Jerusalem, how far it actually was?
Yes.
I mean, that was like a long way.
It's a good distance. Yes, it was.
And so I think about that because I think we think Jesus, you know, it's just like people walking into the edge of the town.
Yeah.
But no, we're talking miles.
Yes. Yes.
That he walked into Jerusalem and along miles, mm-hmm. people were coming and laying their palms before him.
Yes.
Before him, and
yeah.
I just, what a powerful thing it was to be able to see, mm-hmm. To see that road that he walked into Jerusalem.
It's one of the things I think of every Palm Sunday now is that and envisioning that road and you can see where as Jesus is riding in on that donkey and people laying their palms down and, you know, Hosanna in the highest, you know, and, you know, I don't know. It just, I always go there that Sunday, on Palm Sunday, today, you know.
And I think about, you know, because of the distance, people had to come from afar.
Yes.
You know, and so there had, I mean, in my mind, the Bible doesn't say that, but in my mind, that's what, you know, what
sure.
had to have happened is Jesus coming in for several miles, but yet they're all coming along that road. It says along
yes.
the road. And
yeah.
so that's a long road into Jerusalem.
That's right. And, you know, the cool part, do you remember when we were there? And I don't remember the details of it, but Joris talked about there will be thousands of Jews every Palm Sunday that once again they walk that road and it'll be packed out walking that road.
I had forgot that, but now that you said that, I remember her saying that to honor and commemorate
yes.
that. So, here we are. We're talking about Palm Sunday and we're about to go into Holy Week. Does that kind of bring any significance for you guys personally or your take on Palm Sunday?
You know, you guys set that up so well. I think one of the things that I think of in Palm Sunday is they were coming in and they thought on Palm Sunday, you think about the journey that they had. Those people that lined up on Palm Sunday lined that road that you guys walked. They believed that that was a coronation moment where Jesus was going to take over and establish government and overthrow the Roman government, and he was going to be the new king, and Israel was going to be the top dogs. And 1 week later, they watch him get crucified. So you think about the times they're celebrating that for a moment, and even more crazy, they're celebrating him and thinking everything's wonderful, and then a week later, they're shouting, "Crucify him."
Wow.
The same people that walked that road were celebrating him, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." The next thing you know, they're shouting, "Crucify him." And I just always think that that is such a powerful moment. And it correlates with me because I have to remind myself, what am I going to do with Jesus? If I had been there walking that road, would I have been one of those guys shouting, "Crucify him," 1 week later? Or would I have been one that stood by him? You know, and it's just an interesting thought to think about when even they choose Barabbas over this man. Barabbas was a known murderer and criminal and rapist and all these terrible things. And they choose him over the guy they just celebrated 7 days earlier. But I don't know, you know, and you think, well, that was just not nice. But how many times in my own life have I thought, God, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Why are you connecting? I mean, why is it happening the way it's happening? And you know, it just helps me understand, you know what, I'm going to stay with Jesus. I don't have to understand everything all the time. I don't have to know everything that's happening and going on, but I can still stay with him. So those guys, you know, those things just intrigue me. Like, if I had been living at that time, would I have denied Jesus? Would I have shouted, "Crucify"? Because we like to sit here and think, oh, I'm bold and I'm strong and I'm this, but what would it be like?
Peter himself.
That's right. Yes. The big man.
Knew and saw Jesus in action.
Absolutely. And so you're just like, gosh, you know. And we'd say, well, I'll never do this. I mean, you know, and you just think, these were real men and women who are experiencing life just like we experience life.
That's right.
And so, you know, that's the thing that I've heard. And then the other thing that means significance to me on Palm Sunday is I heard a preacher say one time that now we are the road to Easter.
Oh.
That Jesus actually ushers in on us, like we're the donkey. And he told the story of Palm Sunday, and he said, where are you in the story? Are you shouting, "Hosanna"? Are you shouting, "Crucify him"? And we, you know, and you try to think through it, he said, truthfully, what you are is you're the donkey, if you choose to be. Jesus rides in people's lives on your life. He gets entrance into people's hearts and minds through how you live and how you respond, and how, because we are Jesus, his body in the earth. And so if he gains access to someone's life, it's through us, you know. And I just thought, man, that's a powerful statement. And that's what I always think about when I see him riding in. You see the pictures of the donkey, and there was an old cowboy preacher that would say it differently. If you want to know who you are in the Easter story, you are the donkey. But he would use the other word for donkey. Yeah, you know what I mean. So anyway.
Sometimes.
That's exactly right. And so anyway, that's kind of, I always think of that. You
that's
know?
Good.
You know, and I think about what you were saying is, you know, on Palm Sunday, they thought he was the one that was going to come and bring, you know, greatness for the Jews. And I wonder if some of them, what a disappointment.
Oh,
and
man.
Then they had, I would think they would have had to have questioned, well, then was this really the Messiah?
Oh, absolutely.
Because now they're killing him. And if he was the Messiah, then they couldn't kill the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And you got to tell, and how many times have we done that thing? Did I really hear God say that? Because it's not working out like I thought it would. Or
yes.
It's not going like I thought. And so, of course,
that's a good analogy.
You know, this is not how it's supposed to happen. I know God told me this right here. But see, he told the absolute truth. But sometimes we don't see it and hear it. Just like your husband was sharing the other day when he was speaking at the church. And he said, listen, you got to get in your mind and heart. Just because you don't have $1 million doesn't mean you're not a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that you're not very, very wealthy and blessed. And everything in our life is about perspective, you know. Yes. You know, I always tease about this girlfriend I had at one time. I thought she was going to be the one. I mean, I thought she was the one. And boy, you know, I thought, you know, the Lord, I'm going to marry this my wife. And, you know, she broke up with me and we didn't get together. And man, I just crushed. And I thought that's the worst thing ever. God, why did you do it? This was supposed to be my wife. And now we've come a long, full circle. That same girl winds up in prison. She stole a bunch of money. It's a crazy mess. And so you're thinking, oh, thank God.
You're
taking care of me, right? And thank you, Lord. And so sometimes we can get in our mind, this is how I think God should do it. And I want God to do it that way. And if it doesn't quite line up that way, then we're next thing, well, then crucify him then. If he ain't going to do it the way I want it, then I don't need him. And that's what it comes down to. We have to trust him, you know. And that's one of the things that they were basically saying whenever they were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That whole mass of people. And you know, you can think about how that whole road on Palm Sunday is going to be full of people marching. They were all calling him the Messiah. And the Jews came back, the Pharisees, religious leaders said, are you going to sit here and let them call you God? And remember what he said? He said, well, hey, if they don't shout and cry that out, the very rocks will cry it out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So he was letting them know, I am who I say I am.
Mm-hmm.
But in their minds too, well, you're going to take over and then guess what? We don't have any power anymore. And that's the name of the game. If you let Jesus take over, you have no more power. He is in charge.
That's good.
And man, that is what freaked out the religious leaders, because if he's the Messiah, that means I lose my job. And that just is what freaked everybody out. And so that's why they were so intent on murdering him, because they didn't want to give up their control. And that's why so many people in today's world, they don't want to, they want to receive God, receive the blessings, but they don't want to give up that control. Because if he's the Messiah, then that means I'm out. I'm not in control anymore. I have to surrender to him. And that's what makes it so difficult for people. Even though they'd never, ever regret it if they do it. But that's what makes it difficult.
That's good. That's really good. You know what I was thinking when you were talking about all that? I think about when, so he died. Here he dies. And what about, though, Peter, James, John, the disciples? The man's dead. Wait a second. Because, you know, it's not like Jesus told them exactly. I mean, he did, but they probably did not completely comprehend until that third day. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so what went through their mind? Did we just follow, you know, what did we follow?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think about our prayers. How many times do we pray for something, and because we don't see an immediate whatever it is we're praying, mm-hmm. we're like, I guess it just don't work. I guess God heals sometimes or some people, and we give up instead of, no, my third day, it's coming.
So right.
My Sunday's coming, and I'm not going to give up. The it might look dark right now. It might seem doom and despair, but I'm going to stay looking toward the cross, looking toward the author and the finisher of my faith. He don't change. And at the end of the day, if I will refuse to quit, guess what? I'm going to have that healing, whatever it is that I'm believing God for, it's mine. You know what I mean? He says that, so the scripture says he is the author and the finisher of our faith, all because of what he chose to do on that
mm-hmm.
on the cross, you know, being beaten and stuff.
That's exactly right. It's good.
And, you know, as you're talking and I hear that, because I think that is, because both you and Aaron touched on this, is we pray for something, and if it doesn't come when we want it or how we want it, our mind goes in several directions. And this is at least how I think it is, but I must have done something wrong and God's not going to hear my mm-hmm. prayer.
Yes.
So maybe God doesn't love me.
That's right.
Or God said no. He hasn't done it the way I said, so he said no. And so it's just I'm stuck out here by myself. Or, you know, like what you were saying, you know, God hasn't answered my prayer, so it must not going to happen. This whole God thing is a joke. Mm-hmm. God is not really who y'all say he is. He doesn't hear my prayer.
Yeah.
And I think so often we quit, we give up, right before the big break.
Yes.
And then we miss it because, well, we're not staying in faith. Matter of fact, we have quite opposite. Now I'm preparing for the future. Now I'm doing this. And God never told me to do that. He said, just stand and believe. Keep your focus. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Keep your focus and your eyes on the cross, on the finished work of the cross. I come up out of that grave on Sunday. You know what I mean?
And, you know, I agree. And I believe God, in most instances, is very subtle and very, it's not loud. And so sometimes I think that that's why we question whether or not that's God, because it's not loud or it's not like the burning bush experience. Mm-hmm. We want that Jesus to write it on the wall, you know, do this step by step. And when you do, then this will happen. And that's not how it works.
It's not how it works.
And you've got that faith. That's where faith comes in, when you hear that still small voice. And I say hear. Most of the time it's an impression, mm-hmm. just something you just feel like you need to do. Mm-hmm. It's not always necessarily audible, but it's just like something's coming to your mind and you think, oh, maybe this is something I should do. Mm-hmm. But then because it's so subtle, we're like, okay, was that me? Was that God? Yeah. You know, what should I do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
And I think that that really can cripple a lot of people, because here's what we want. We want the entire roadmap on the first day. And that's not how God leads. God leads through steps. And so many people, they'll sit back and wait till they get the, they want the whole roadmap, where God's just saying, hey, I need you to take this first step in following and in doing what I said to do. And even when you see Jesus calling the disciples, he walked around the beach, he didn't go in, hey, here's my resume, and you know, here, and he tried to talk anybody into anything. He said, hey, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
One step at a time. And so many times that's what's so difficult, because you're like, okay, I'm feeling like I need to go this way, but I'm just not quite sure. You know why I'm not quite sure? You only got one step.
Amen.
You only get one step at a time. And that is so much of a blessing, because once you take the step, you'll get the next step. But it's taking out that step when it doesn't look like there's anything out there that's going to lead anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the thing that I think is so hard, is that we just want to, like, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm just not going to do anything. Well, the great thing about God is he can restore. If you move out in faith toward him, and even if you mess up and move the wrong way, he's going to restore that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get you back on
That's
track,
right.
Because you're stepping out. You're moving toward God. And when you do that, you can't lose. Now, I can't tell you it's going to go down like exactly like you think it is. In fact, I can promise you it's not going
Anymore
to go down.
Close.
That's right. That's right. It's not going to go down like you think it is. But it is going to be worth your trip once you get there.
That's
I
right.
can promise that, you know.
Amen.
So.
That's good.
And when I think, if anybody who has actually been following God for quite some time now and just saying yes each step of the way, will tell you that, and at least this is what I would say, is that as long as you're saying yes and you don't know until years later of why you had to say yes before because of where you are now.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you think of the James, Peter, James, and John, you think about the disciples, you think of all the people of old. Think about it. They were living their life just like you and I, taking one step after another. Did they mess up? Oh, yes, they did. They did some things that you're like, why? And then I'm like, just like Aaron said at the beginning of this, the truth is would I have done the same thing? Possibly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so with that, but now they're in heaven, there's a book written about them, and we know the end of the story. The truth is, we're living through our story. We don't know the end of our story. That's why it's just one foot in front of the other saying yes, yes,
yeah.
yes. And guess what? Things just seem to work out. Why is that? Because of God, you know?
Yes, because of God.
Yes.
That's the key point here. It's because of God. It's not by anything that you've done.
Yeah.
It's not by anything that you've set in your mind. It's just by you saying yes to God, and God's going to direct your path.
And I think that is so important that we see that exactly, because what I have, and I don't think anybody's meant to be taught this way, but this is sort of the way that I received it, okay? Whereas you go, well, five steps to financial breakthrough. If you do these five things, you're going to have a major financial breakthrough. And then it's like God sitting up there with this list. Okay, you got four out of the five, so no money for you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get the checklist exactly right, no blessing and only curses. And see, that's the whole reason Jesus came, is to remove the list.
Yes.
the list of the Ten Commandments, right? He took the list out of the way. But we try to put ourselves back on the list. Okay, wait. What went wrong? Did I got enough forgiveness in my life? Did I forget to tithe a couple months ago?
Did I repent? Did I ask for forgiveness?
We try to figure out this list, and God's like, come on, man, just get your heart toward me. See, you got David, who he says is a man after my own heart, who didn't even have the Holy Spirit like we do. He murdered people. He had adultery. He had major family problems of all kinds. And God says, be like David. You're like, be like David? He's a freaking mess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But God says, look, I'm not worried about all that.
I'll take care of that.
I'll take care of all that stuff. Just keep your heart toward me. Don't worry about the list. Don't worry about what you're supposed to be doing. You know, come toward me. Come toward the Scripture. Get involved with the whole thing. But don't put yourself back under the list, the law, and walk with me. And I'll work all that out. And then before you know it, you're just doing the list. And you don't even realize you're doing the list. This is how you live now. You know, and it's an effortless change as you continue, like you guys have been saying, as you continue to say yes to God. It just happens. And it's a powerful way to live. And it's not as scary as you think to say, well, what if this and what if that? And I don't know if I want to give this up. Listen. Keep your heart toward God. And keep moving toward Jesus, and He will do all that He needs to do in your life. All the details will be ironed out and worked out.
And go ahead.
Well, and I was just thinking the flip side of that. So it's easy for me to see what I'm not doing, but it's really easy. It makes me think of the scripture that says about seeing the speck in your brother's eye, but you've got the huge plank. How many times do we as Christians, we see that person is doing this and this and this, and we have just nailed them to the cross. Just a second. What if they've just given their hearts to God and we allow God to do what He does best, let the Holy Spirit go to work and convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment?
Yes.
What happens? We have seen it time after time after time in ministry. When you allow the Holy Spirit to do it, man, does He have a way of convicting. And we've had people that's come up that we thought were married that wasn't married, and they're like, we need to get married. And if they're like, it was what you preached on Sunday. And he was like, what did I preach on Sunday? I don't think I said nothing about marriage. Wait a second. It's because it's not on me. It's on the Holy Spirit. He convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And it makes me think of a pastor that we heard years ago. And he said that he knew that this one man would come into the church and he'd have his sermon ready to go and preach it. And he'd see this man and he'd change it. And it would become about getting saved and da-da-da-da. And the man never would get saved. And then the man came in this few years later and he thought, I'm not doing it. I'm going to preach my sermon. And the man gave his heart to Jesus. Why is that? The Holy Spirit did what He was supposed to do. We cannot step into the Holy Spirit's job. Allow Him to do His part. And you're just the vessel that God wants to use to love these people and to speak love to them and to speak truth to them.
You know what? That reminds me of something I just recently heard in a message that I was listening to. You know, because, and you kind of, Aaron, had touched a little bit on this, I don't know, a week or so ago, talking about the people that see Christians that are doing things that, you know, they don't think that they should be doing. And so we kind of start getting that, you know, Christians are hypocrites.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they talk about, you know, people that are going to church, they're just nothing but hypocrites. But what I heard was the way this guy explained it, and it was so good to me. Or maybe, I'm sure I've heard it before, but you know how the light bulb finally goes off? You know, that happens sometimes. And he said, do you wait to go to the doctor or to the hospital when you're already feeling well?
No,
you don't go to the doctor when you're feeling well. No. You don't go to the hospital when you're feeling well. But you go when you're not feeling well and you need a physician to help you.
That's good.
And that's what the church is.
Absolutely.
Is people that are just not well spiritually.
That's right.
That's so good.
You could even look at it as you're saying that. I can see somebody coming through the church doors and having a knife sticking out their chest, out of their heart. And instead of taking care of them, instead we just twist it a little more. Well, you're nothing but da, da, da. Wait, that's not my job. I need to get you to the hospital. You taken care of.
Yes.
Because you're dying. You know what I mean? That's the same thing when people come in. Wait a second, they're not going to be perfect. They need the love of Jesus just like every one of us have encountered. And let Him begin to transform their lives. thank God I am not the woman I was 30 years ago.
Amen to that and for myself.
And it wasn't an overnight transformation. It has been 30 years of walking with God. And hopefully, prayerfully, I won't look like I look. Next year, this time next year, I'll look different. Why is that? Because I keep my focus and my eyes toward Jesus. That's the same thing as those people come up off the street. Or that's in our church services. Truth is they just need Jesus. And every year that they will keep their eyes on the finished work of the cross, they'll transform and they'll change. And then they look up 30 years later and they're like, wow, I am a different person.
And as you look on the outside, I think so many people, because there's a variety of people that go to church. You have someone that has a really high status, or you have someone that has a really low status, or this person is known for this particular thing. But we don't know by that how sick they are spiritually. And that's what it's about, is coming to the ultimate physician, and that's the Heavenly Father, and bringing them, like you said, bringing them into the hospital, because, hey, you are going to die if you keep going on this. Mm-hmm. But I got to ask you both a question, because we've been talking about saying yes to God. Mm-hmm. Have y'all always said yes to God? Have you ever had a moment where maybe you got off a little bit and decided, oh, wait, maybe that was God? Or I'm sitting here holding my hands like you're going to say yes, because I'm not going to ask you guys to share, okay? But my point is being said that sometimes we do miss it.
That's right.
Absolutely. We miss it.
And honestly, I mean, just a really quick one, and Aaron ended up saying yes in the end, but I remember in September of 01 coming to Wheeler, and we were leaving out of here. Cornerstone did not have a pastor at that time, no perspective. And I said, do you see us moving there and pastoring this church? And he said, no, never. I love what I'm doing. And we were youth ministers, and we were good at it, and we had great youth. And it would be 3 months later that he would have that where God was just speaking to him. And then out of the blue, as he's writing things down in his journal, our pastor called him and said, Aaron, I believe we need to talk about Wheeler. And he said, you're going to tell me that you believe I'm supposed to move to Wheeler? Something like that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I just thought it was in my head, because it never entered my mind that I would ever be a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. I'd pick janitor over pastor any day of the week. Back then, I love it now. But I just thought, when that started stirring in my heart and spirit, I just thought, Sonia planted that freaking seed in my mind. Now I can't get it out of my mind. She's got me all jacked up, you know. And so, anyway, I just really, it just wasn't in my heart at all to ever be a pastor. I love to help pastors and serve pastors and, you know, be of all the help I could be. But in my heart of hearts, I just never really had that desire. In fact, I prayed prayers. Lord, I'll do anything you tell me to do, but please don't ask me to be a pastor. And lo and behold, because I was with pastors all the time. I mean, I served my pastor, and I went with him when he traveled, and I just saw that. And I'm like, Lord, I'll just stay with him all my life, or I'll serve anybody you want me to serve, but just don't let me do this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sure enough, that's where he called me. But you never regret saying yes. And I missed it many times, especially, and you guys remember, back in the early days, I was so about rules, so about the legalism, and we got to make sure everybody's behaving, and everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, and we're going to get all up in everybody's business. And I'm like, gosh, what a mess. And I wrote something down. It may turn into a message. I wrote it down a few days ago. It's this. If people hate you because of your relationship with Jesus, that's part of it. If people hate you because of your relationship with Jesus, that's what he said. The world hates me, they're going to hate you. But if they hate Jesus because of you, something needs to change.
Ooh, ouch.
And I thought, man, that's the way I live my life. And I think that's why God told me, because I appreciated it when I was real nasty to you and got on you and got in all your business and you got mad and would leave. Well, good. I'm going to tell you the truth. I hope you do. You know, I didn't have any love toward anybody or any. I just thought, hey, I'm going to go tell them the truth. If they don't like it, they can leave. There was no love in that. I still believe in telling people the truth. I absolutely tell the truth. But the scripture says, tell the truth in love. Tell the truth in love. And so many times we are just trying to make sure everybody's following the list that we're supposed to be delivered from, that we forget to really love them like Jesus loves them. And, you know, that's where I have missed it, gosh, for 10 years of being in as a pastor. I missed it so many times because I was so intent on people behaving. I don't care if you know Jesus or not, but you better behave. And I didn't know that. I really did care if you knew Jesus, but I would put more emphasis on the behavior of that person.
Yeah, this is what it looks like.
This is how you're supposed to act. Yeah. I mean, her brother who lived with us for years, he came out of one of the most difficult times and difficult places, and he came first day in our house. I said, all right, now, you're going to sit here on the front row, you're going to dress like a Christian, you're going to talk like a Christian, you're going to act like a Christian, or else.
Put a smile on your face.
Enjoy it all the whole time. And he's like, what does that even mean? But that's how I did. That's how I didn't treat just him that way. I treated everybody in my life that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hurt a lot of people that way. And I pray still to this day, Lord, all those people that I didn't treat properly, please send somebody to them that can do a better job of presenting the gospel than I did in those days.
Well, and you know, I think the cool part, and you've been here long
enough. You've been here 20 years. You've been here.
I
think I was that person too.
Yeah. But I think when I look at it today, more people every year get saved and their lives get transformed. Like, we see radical transformations in people's lives more now than we ever did when it was the law. Now that we allow the Holy Spirit to do His job, man, isn't it? It's just amazing. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, 100%, because we're not doing the work.
Oh, yeah.
When we're doing the work, it's not going to work out too good. You might scare somebody bad enough to walk an aisle and pray a prayer, but you don't have the power to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was our deal, man. That was our deal. I mean, and luckily, before we had kids, the Lord did a work in us. But, I mean, and we would get nervous because Blaze never wanted to get saved. We would read Bible stories and just try everything. Do you feel like you want to ask Jesus into your heart so you can go to heaven? No. I mean, just violently. Like, no, I don't want to do that. Well, we kept talking about it. And it turned out that he thought, when he asked Jesus into his heart, he was going to heaven that day. So as he said, amen, boom, heaven. And he wasn't sure if he wanted to do that. So we finally got that all worked out. But how much easier it would have been the first day that I asked Blaze if he wanted to get saved, if I said, Blaze, do you want Jesus to come into your heart? He would have said no. I'd have said, oh, so you want to burn in a place of fire and brimstone and torture? You want to burn where people grab you and bite you? And you want to live where there's worms crawling in and out of your eyes and your skin? You want to get saved now? Oh, yeah, please. You know what I mean? And so we want to scare the hell out of everybody. That's the way I was back in the day. And I still believe there's a place called hell that nobody wants to go there. Right? So I'm not saying that's not the case. But I'm saying the gospel is the good news. And that's the good news we're called to preach. Now, do we need to let people know the realities of hell and the realities of eternity? Absolutely let them know that. But wrap that all in love, not fear. The question is your gospel message, is it wrapped in love, pouring love into people, or is it wrapped in fear?
Mm-hmm.
To God, and a lot of people are scared of God because if I don't do right, if I don't act right, well, you open the door for the devil. That's why you got cancer. You open the door for the devil, that's why you broke. Well,
mm-hmm.
That's fear-based living. Okay? Now, if you know God told you to do something and you willfully disobey what He told you to do, there's going to be a consequence for that. So I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying He's not up here with a big long list, and if you miss one point, you're going to open the door and the devil's going to beat you up. No, it's about, is your heart toward God? And that's why He could take the people at this table and so many others, even though there was a time we were legalistic and we were doing all the things that we were doing, our hearts were really after God. And that's why we've been pliable and we've been able to move into the place that we've moved to. Not nothing that we did, but other than, God, you have my heart. I'll do what you ask me to do. You know.
And I'll tell you, when we were in the legalism, do y'all remember, it was people were just really good at hiding. You know what I mean? So you think they're putting on their church clothes Sunday morning and they put a smile on their face and they're living this holy, righteous life.
Saying all the right things.
Amen, brother!
Yeah. Hallelujah!
And then you find out, oh no, they're doing this, and this. They just become very good hiders underneath that.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Holy Spirit can come in and do what He does best, guess what? He transforms our hearts, and we suddenly see people that we're hiding that come, and they're like, I need to get married. Yeah. You know what I mean? Can you marry me today? Can you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things of that nature. And you didn't even have a clue. They come and bring it to the light. Aaron had somebody within the last year that came up and he's like starting to talk to him about his drinking. He says, I know God has told me to lay this down. Wait just a second. That wasn't Aaron going to him saying, you need to lay that down. No, no, no. That was God, the Holy Spirit working on that guy. And this guy just randomly after church one Sunday said, hey, this is what the Lord's been speaking to me. That is what he does. And then you wake up, like I said, 30 years later, and you're a different person.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, that was the one thing is, because we mess up sometimes, but that's okay. And that doesn't mean that's the end of your road. That doesn't mean that God can't use you anymore. That doesn't mean that anything. What it means is you keep, like Aaron said, you keep, and Sonia said, you just keep your focus on Him, and all those other things will begin to turn around, and it's okay.
That's right.
That's right.
And He can take our biggest mess and turn it around. So He can take when we have said no, 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 and turn it around. Aaron has said this many times, and you said it to me this morning. God has a purpose for our lives. That He has a million plans to get us to where He needs us to be. And so though we might take this detour along the road, guess what? If our eyes stay on the finished work of the cross, and that means that we're saying yes to Jesus. Though I said no, I'm not going to do this. No, no, no. Guess what? As I'm just allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with my heart, eventually He's going to get me turned back in the right direction to go toward the purpose that I was created for.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right. And a lot of times you don't know. That's what I really want to stress is because especially in my own life, there are things that back in 01, when we moved to Wheeler and when the places I've worked, I didn't know where it was going to bring me today. I was like, Lord, I don't know why you're having me do this, but I'm doing it.
Yes.
But I don't understand it and I don't get it. And sometimes it almost was aggravating.
Yes.
And didn't always have a good attitude about it. But I can look back now and see. And a lot of times you will not see for a long time.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. But you will, I promise, you'll never regret it if you'll just keep taking those steps. You'll never, ever regret it, you know. And you know, just encouraging everybody that's listening, wherever you are on your journey, remember to stay connected to Jesus, but also stay connected to people who can help you stay connected to Jesus through the church and through friendships, just like this morning, before we did the program, Natalie had called us, or we had called her, and before it was all over with, she's encouraging us about our kids and all those other things. So no matter where you are, no matter what trouble you're going through, we have a tendency when we're going through a storm to isolate, and we get into fear. And
that's
what we were sharing with you this morning. I'm fearful that this is going to happen. I'm fearful that if we don't do something different, this is going to happen. And Natalie just began to speak faith. And begin to speak hope and to speak encouragement. And we all need people in our life like that. You can't do this whole thing. You can't take this journey by yourself. You can't do it.
That's right. You know. And on the flip side, okay, so I had an opportunity and to, you know, on the flip side, but how many times have you all done that for me?
That's
it's
right.
Not a one-sided relationship. We're here for each other, and as the scripture says, as iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
We all have moments that we just need a little bit of faith boost, where we need someone to speak the word to us or, you know, give us some hope.
100%. Right. And it's just so many times. I remember, I don't know, it's probably been close to 5 years now that the church was in a real pickle about a certain decision, man, and I was just fighting this thing, and I was talking back and forth, and I said, we're talking to the elders of our church, James, your husband's one of the elders, and I'm like, we gotta have an answer on this deal, and I'm praying, trying to figure it out. Finally, I called James, hey, you got anything on this? And he said, hey, this is what we need to do it today. And he just had such an authority and such a faith, I'm like, oh, thank God. Even though that wasn't an easy thing to do, I was like, well, we know what to do now. We know, right?
Yeah.
And it saved us, and it helped us, and it was just exactly right. But see, when you're struggling, connect yourself with people who know God, and they can pull you back to where you need to be. It's so important.
Amen.
So important. You can't do it by yourself. No matter who you are, pastor, leader, person that is in the church, whatever, you can't do it all on your own. That American dream, I pull myself up by my own bootstraps and I'll make it happen for myself. No, you won't.
You got to have somebody. There's nobody alive that's ever accomplished anything completely alone without somebody in their corner pulling them up and helping them up and walking with them and even dragging them sometimes when they couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
You know, so I just really encourage you, find a community you can connect with and get going with.
No, this may be a really bad analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. You know, I think what happens is when we get into a situation, we get our emotions tied into it. We look at, there's more things that we consider when we're in the midst of something that we're trying to get through.
Yes.
And so, now I laugh as I say this, because, you know, James was telling me that he read an article that when you go to sell your cattle, that you should let somebody else come in and handpick which cattle you should sell. Because when you go in to try to sell your cattle, you're going to say, oh, but this one had such a good calf, and she's been so good to me, I can't get rid of her.
Yeah.
And you just go down the line when actually it is time to let go of that cow.
Yeah.
There's a connection, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I know that's kind of a weird analogy, but I think sometimes that's what it is, mm-hmm. is when you have those emotions tied in there,
absolutely.
It can kind of thwart sometimes.
That's right.
It absolutely can.
That's right. And that's really, it's iron sharpens iron as one friend to another. And the truth is we've got to have strong people around us. And I think we all could look at our friendships, our relationships. Who are you doing life with? And if it's not somebody that can help speak life to you, get away. The truth is, I need people in my life that can speak life. And when I am fighting for my own life, because the Bible says there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. The truth is when those trials, those tribulations come, I need people around me that can speak life to me.
That's right. And it's not that we don't know the word. We just have to be reminded
of
it.
That's right.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's right.
We have to be reminded.
And you said it, because we get emotions, we get fear, we get all the things that... And we have lost connection with the voice of God and with what we can do. And that's why God puts us together most times with the person that we're married to. I don't know how many times down through the years, I'm a compassionate, I'm a soft-hearted guy. I will just go and go and go with people. And Sonia's more direct. She sees through people's stuff, you might say.
She really has to get the discernment.
That's right.
She does.
And so there's been many times she'll think, oh, I don't think we should do this. I just really don't feel right about it. And I'm like, oh, come on. You know what I mean?
We're trying to do something good.
You know, I'm trying to help somebody. Would you leave me alone?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I'm not to kid you, 9 out of 10 times that's happened, and I've just went on and not listened to what she said. I'm like, oh, man, I wish I'd listened to them. I wish I'd done it their way. You know, and it's just such a freeing thing to know you have a community of people around you. Number one, that know God, and number two, that love you.
Amen.
And want to walk with you.
Yes.
And then it's just such a safety. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to, because I got people around me that can help me figure out where we're supposed to be. And it's just a freeing way to live.
It is. Well, would one of you be willing to pray for our listeners? You know, some of the things that, you know, we've been talking about may have struck a chord. I mean, we've got several things that we have talked about today, and just whatever God puts on your heart to pray.
All right. I'll do that. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be with Natalie on Sunday Night Live. And I'm just praying for the folks that are listening tonight, or maybe they've jumped on the website and are listening to it in a different time, and you've just directed them in this moment. I want them to know it's no accident that you found this program. It's no accident that you're listening right now in this moment. It's an invitation from God to move closer, to move in, to get more intimate with Him. It may be an invitation from God to say, you go ahead and step out and you do it. You go through that open door. You go through that. You start that ministry. You start that business. You do those things. You have those hard conversations with someone in your life that maybe you need to have a hard conversation with. And maybe you're out there and you're thinking, well, I have a bad taste in my mouth for church and all of that. Well, why don't you give it another opportunity? Give God another opportunity to connect you with people who really love you and can really help you walk with God. But Lord, I'm praying for each and every one of them in the situations that they may have found themselves in. I pray, Lord, that you would, just like you entered in to that on that Palm Sunday, you walked down that road and you rode that donkey down that road, Lord God. I pray that you would
gain entrance into those folks that are listening to this program yes. right now, that you would walk in and that we would receive you. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You are my God. You are my Lord. You are my Messiah, and I receive you in my life. And you can do that right now. You can open up your heart. You can open up your life. You can receive the Lord. He will come into you, and he will walk with you. He'll make his home with you. And as you follow him, he will become your Lord and Savior, and you'll never, ever regret it. So, Lord, give them clear direction, open doors for them, connect them with the right people. And as we celebrate Easter, I just feel like even Easter's coming up, I just feel like there's some people, even as I'm praying, saying it's too late. My dream is dead. That vision is dead. The things that I thought were going to happen are dead. Well, let me tell you something. Easter is coming.
Amen.
Resurrection is coming. That thing that you think is dead is going to come walking out of that grave. And God said, just like we had talked before, God is saying to you, hey, listen, you may think that it's over. You may think that there's no purpose, but that purpose for your life is still alive and well. And I've got a million plans to finish that. So that thing you thought was dead and gone is about to be resurrected. We're speaking it over you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hosanna. Hosanna.
Amen.
Yes, you know, just so thankful for, you know, this is, to me, I mean, I know Christmas is when Jesus was born, and I'm thankful for that, because then he wouldn't have been able to experience Easter. But to me, this is one of the most important holidays.
Absolutely.
I say holidays. Most important things that I want to remember is
when
Jesus went.
Yes.
For me, and he was obedient on the cross. And so this week, as we are going in to prepare for Easter Sunday, next Sunday, and I just pray that people are just sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and that, you know, they just receive what all God has for them to receive.
That's all. That's our prayer.
But I got to tell a funny story on you, Sonia.
Okay.
Are you scared?
No, there's a lot of them out there.
And don't, please don't take this bad in any way. But remember when we were walking on our treadmills when you were pregnant with Creed? And you were telling me about some of the things that you're experiencing in this pregnancy versus, you know,
the first one.
And I said, well, these kids are going to be totally different.
They are totally different.
Right.
And I said, they're not going to be the same. And you're like, and I think, you didn't really come out and say it, but I think you more was like, well, I don't know how that could be different because I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Same parents. Yeah.
Same parents. And so I laugh now because Blaze and Creed are like day and night.
Yes, they are. Totally different.
Praise God for his mercy and grace.
I'm telling you.
Yes.
But that's all right. Well, we just pray that y'all had a good Palm Sunday and you celebrate this week. And, this is my favorite saying is, you know, Friday's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's okay because we know what happens on Sunday.
That's right.
That's right.
And so revel in that this week, and we just pray you have a blessed week. We pray that you will see the goodness of God in everything that you set out to do this week, in every little thing. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to these people.
Amen.
Lord, you know how they can hear it. And so, Father, I just pray that as they go throughout their week, that you're going to speak to them in ways that they will know that you are speaking to them and you're loving on them in ways that they know that you're loving on them.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, I just thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for your love in Jesus' name. You know, that's one thing I want everybody to do, because, you know, what God can say or do to you and says, I love you,
that's right.
Not going to be the same thing as what he's going to say to me
Absolutely.
And what he's going to say to you.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so you hear story after story about how God did this and how God did that, and it's totally different.
Yeah. He'll minister to you exactly how you need ministered to. He knows you perfectly, and he loves you uniquely. And he
can't box him in.
No.
No. And that's right. Well, we just want to thank you guys for listening to us tonight, and we just want to remind you of our website, sundaynightlive.org. Also, there is a link on that website for Cornerstone Church Wheeler if you'd like to go back and listen to any of their past messages. But also on our website, we have all of our shows archived on there. We also have podcasts, and I know it's Google Podcast, and I can't remember the other one. I gotta write that down. I can never remember. But anyway, there's several ways that if you know someone that this would bless, give it to them. And we just want to say, everybody, you have a good night. We hope you sleep well, and we will talk to you next week. God is on the move.